Hi, and welcome to the Tell It Like It Is program, The Kingdom Way. I'm Apostle Baker J. Baker, who is a doctor in psychology, and I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. I am excited. So I want you to do all that social media stuff, let your friends know on YouTube, on Twitter, on Roku, wherever it is that you are, Facebook, all of these different places. Today, Apostle Marshall is with me again. He's co-hosting with me, and we're going to talk about the active mouth and lazy body. And so it is something that I really think that a lot of the listeners, because I know that there's people in my congregation and people that I oversee and stuff that have active mouths. They can tell you all this stuff and they can go through that, but production is zero. So we're getting rid of that. We're going to help you to overcome. This is not something that we're talking about to defeat you, but to help you to overcome. So without any further words and all of that, come on, Apostle Marshall.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Oh, I just forgot to tell you. I meant to tell you last week, but I'll tell you today because we are back now. My wife, who you know, Randy, that's her name.
You better stop it.
Glory to God. She just received an honorary doctorate degree from Isaiah University School of the Holy Spirit that's located in Orlando, Florida.
All right,
she received it this past weekend. And so we are still probably, I'm in Florida celebrating with all of our children are here for this occasion and some of our close friends. And so we're excited about that. So I just wanted to mention that. Anyway, so we started talking about last week the, how do you say it? The mouths and the lazy bodies.
Active mouth and lazy body.
Active mouths and lazy bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that I really think that needs to maybe be talked about more in the context of just believers in general, not so much a particular church or not, but this is something really needs to be talked about because there's a whole people saying a whole lot of stuff. But when it comes to manifestation or producing manifestation out of what they say, nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. And I often wonder sometimes, I know people that know the word better than me, and they have little or no manifestation of the word that they know that comes out of their mouth. I know people like that all over the place. I was in I want to call it Word of Faith Church because this guy was an apostle, but he was closely attached to the Word of Faith movement. And I remember I was asked to speak at his church. This was a few years ago. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Became a very dear friend, only knew him like a year and a half, and then he left. And I was like, Lord, what is up? But anyway, here's my point I wanted to make. I was at his ministry, and this is a phrase the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit, and he said this. He said, tell them, and this goes back to what we're saying, active mouths but lazy bodies. He said that believing is illegitimate if there is no intent of receiving. It's just like you can say the word, and it's not in your heart. It may be in your head, but it's not in your heart. Because if it's not in your heart, you will never get manifestation. And this is the thing. With the heart, Romans 10, we believe. And with the mouth, confession is made. Sometimes, Apostle Baker, I think we're doing it backwards. I think we are saying it first and ain't nothing in our heart. Jesus said in Mark, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, then you'll have them. So We lost the principle of framing desire. And desire can only be framed in the heart. Otherwise, you just yak, 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 yak. Don't talk back. You know, remember? but we're just doing that and not able to produce. Because in the kingdom, the law of Genesis is everything produces after its kind. And if you are saying the word, if you're saying what he says and not getting manifestation, I think the issue is that it produces the lazy body because there's no movement because that thing ain't in your heart. What you say to that? Now, I want to read a scripture if I may, and then we'll continue this study. Gosh, is this where it's at? Now, it's a familiar passage of scripture, but I really believe the goal is manifestation. One thing I did learn about confession, I must say, was I felt like for me to design a confession was to get it in my heart, not to say it to make something happen. The confession ultimately should be my agreement or our agreement with what already is so. So when we're saying confessions, I think sometimes people say confessions to try to make something happen. But maybe you're saying the confession first so you can get it in your heart. Because a lot of times people are confessing, and even the word, don't get upset, y'all, even the word, and nothing is manifesting. And I've seen it. All my years I've been in ministry, time and time and time and time again, and no manifestation. Then people get frustrated. They get upset with God. They get upset with themselves. And then they just start blaming everybody why they're not getting manifestation. And ultimately, I have to go back to this. It's not in your heart. Now, there's a scripture. I just want to read part of it. And I just want to quote the first part of this, Hebrews chapter 11. Let me look it up. Basically, it says, through faith we understand. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, watch this, by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Think about that. Now, so God spoke. And this is a principle here I want to pull out. He spoke, and when he did it, when he spoke, he created a framework that established a pattern from the speaking of his voice. Because the scripture lets us know, by faith or through faith, we understand that the cosmos was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And so every atom, every molecule has been framed up by the word of God, and it responds to his voice or the speaking of his voice. So everything you see, even your own body, is a visible expression of a previously invisible experience. And so I wanted to read that because I really believe that there is that dimensional construct that even when God spoke and framed the worlds, that he put this dimensional construct in place, that when we operate, I like to call it spiritual technology, and that kind of spiritual technology, it will always produce things we out of what we can't see. They come out of the unseen realm, and then they manifest in the realm of the seen. But there is a technology that we have to tap into, and part of that technology, and this is why people can say it, wagging mouths and lazy bodies, they can say it because they haven't tapped into this framework, this technology of framing. It's an invisible technology that God put in place when he said, let there be light, and release this invisible technology of the spirit. And so we got to learn, therefore, how to frame the world around us. Because if we don't understand how to do this, that we're going to begin to keep producing non-productive stuff.
I asked you something. You mentioned the word frame. You've mentioned it. Why do we frame something so that the focus can be on the thing that's in the middle? We frame pictures. You said your wife just got a honorary doctorate. She framed that so that the focus could be on the doctor on the certificate that she received. You frame a picture so that the focus can be on the picture. How you frame something, and this is where your focus is. You have framed it. And so you have framed your failure. You have framed your success. You have framed your forward, or you have framed your backwards. You have already framed it, and you have framed it in your mind. I taught a couple of weeks ago, or whatever it was, about the conscious, subconscious, and the unconscious mind. Because people forget about that unconscious mind, which is supposed to be the spirit of the living God. It's either the spirit of God or the demonic spirit that's that mind. But you talked about that framing. And when you frame this thing, a kingdom citizen, a believer, is supposed to be that unconscious, that mind that totally influences you from this place that you don't even realize, that has you with your focus. And I can scripturally prove it, but I'm not going to do that on this program. But what I'm talking about is this. You talked about the framing and the focus. So when they're talking a talk, their focus is on something totally different. It has no, they can't even see it moving. Your picture in there got to be a moving picture. It can't be, it cannot be a static picture. If it's a static picture, it will stay static. Anything static stays static. Anything moving keeps moving. It's like I'm moving, doing stuff, doing things. You ain't gonna keep me still, because you get stiff and lazy.
You got to keep moving, because the word is active. It's powerful. How does the scripture say? It's quick and powerful. And so that same, if we can start applying those same principles, we should be seeing movement out of even our own lives and our own selves. And, you know, there's a principle, really it's measurement. Because in the kingdom, you can measure. You ought to be able to measure your progress from one stage, one phase of the journey to another. What if some of our listeners would go back 6 months, go back a year, go back a year and a half? And you can measure your movement based on confessions that you made, or words that you've said, or more specifically, what you saw in your heart. What are you seeing in your heart now about yourself, about your life, about where you're going? Do you see yourself stuck? Do you see yourself in a dead-end place? Or do you see yourself constantly moving? One of the things that I saw, because I I'm a moving person, and I'm always moving. But I'm always moving. And even this year, I said to myself, "You're going to do more this year. There's going to be more movement in your life this year than the previous year. And the previous year, there was a bunch of movement. And already, I said to my, I knew, I saw it. There's going to be much more this year." And I've set myself to move, to keep advancing, to keep reaching, to keep going, because, you know what? There is something, there's a destination. You know, we talk a lot about destiny, but you have to understand there's a destination with your destiny that we're coming into. And that ultimately is the fullness of the reality of the Christ manifesting through our life, that sonship thing, that Christ image manifesting through us. But the journey is what transfigures us and transforms us into his image and into his likeness, and begins to change us consciously and subconsciously into his mind, into his thought reality, so that we as his sons and daughters begin to manifest his thought realities in this earth realm. But we don't think like mere humans anymore. Oh, gosh. Because mere humans, they're the ones that are talking and ain't no movement. What now? Go ahead.
Wow, say that again.
I said mere humans, they're the ones that's talking and it ain't no movement. That's what human beings do, because you put yourself in a limited place, and we have a carnal mindset or a fleshly mindset. You cannot attain or ascend into your rightful place. God put us here to manifest the reality of who He is. And so we must now focus, as we learn to frame, on the, my God, that centerpiece. The Bible says in Colossians, no, one of those Colossians, Ephesians, somewhere, 2:10, it says that we are His workmanship. Oh God, I think it's Ephesians, created in Christ Jesus, His workmanship. And I just wanted to pull that out, because that word workmanship means masterpiece. We're His masterpiece. So we're the masterpiece in the frame. He's the master, right? And we're the piece. And we become the outworking because of the movement of His life in us that comes through the power of words, and it begins to produce predictable outcomes in the realm of the spirit. That's why, Apostle, we can decree a thing and it will be established. It's so because I said it's so. Glory to God. Yeah, it's so because I said it's so. It manifests because I said that it manifests. This is our inheritance. But we have to move past just the, because religion taught us to say things to impress people, but they ain't no fruit. And some of the biggest, you know, I grew up in classical Pentecostalism, and I have to honestly say, some of the biggest tongue talkers had the least amount of fruit, especially in church. They would go out in the spirit. They would just manifest in the spirit, and they had the least amount of fruit. Oh, come on, somebody say, that's the truth. That's the truth. I know that's the truth. And so God wants to take us from just like wagging tongues, so to speak, just running our mouths or running off at the mouth and ain't doing nothing, ain't producing anything. And this is the challenge now. Can we refocus? Can we start reframing so that we can begin to produce predictable outcomes? First started in our own life, then in the environment around us, and then we can touch the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah. We got to frame this. That makes sense?
If you can't frame it, you can't see it. And if you can't see it, you can't have it.
Woo!
See? And that's the whole thing. And see, I have to see. I have to see. And say, I have to see and say, I have to see and say, I have to see and say. Because what people have been doing is they've been saying and they've not been seeing. So what it is, the Bible says, any two agree, any two things agree, any agreement. See, that's the way the mind works. If the spirit and the soul are together, then the body got to cooperate. If the soul and the body are in agreement, what's happening? The spirit man is still there and he's alive, but he can't break that law. It's a law. It is a law. And you say, no, the spirit is more powerful. The spirit is only powerful when there is some agreement with it, because the spirit is alive. The spirit in me is alive. He wants to always do right. The spirit, he wants to always do right. The spirit is whole. The spirit is healed. The spirit is all of that. I was talking to Apostle Cal today, And I was talking about many things we call miracles is this miracle working power. But the thing of it is, a miracle is something that happens that we didn't have any control over. And I told him he's in a miracle working process because he is doing some hard work. You're in a miracle working process because you're doing some hard work. You ain't just laying on yourself and saying, God, just heal me, heal me, heal me. And I'm not going to do nothing. Oh, the pain is too great. I'm not going to walk through this. See, faith without some action is buried. It ain't no faith. All it is foolishness, as Fred Price wrote a book many years ago. Faith, foolishness, or presumption. It is foolishness and presumption. You have just presumpted yourself out of the race because you're sitting down saying that you're running this 100-yard dash and you still sitting in your rocking chair.
Yeah, you ain't even got no tennis shoes. Get you some running shoes at least. Y'all there? Listen, we have the honor and privilege of using our voice to speak from our oneness with our Heavenly Father God. There's a unified sound that comes when we speak with the Father, and it's that unified sound that can cause an atmosphere to shift or a situation to change. We don't always realize it, but do you realize that the more you see yourself in Him and speak from the cosmic positioning in Him, that you, me, we can shift an atmosphere and we can change situations in the earth realm? We got to learn to live our lives in Him. And as we learn to live our lives in Him, we become a mockery of death because we have been given His life. Think about that. Our unified union, our divine union with Him brings us into this synchronization that when we speak from the power of His voice, my God. You know, it's kind of like when the lepers moved toward the city, the Syrian army. They heard a mighty army because they just decided, are we going to sit here and die? Or are we going to go to the city where there's provision at? And there are four lepers, which was forbidden to go into the city, but they thought, we ain't going to starve to death. And they begin to make movement. And as they made movement toward the city, a great army, they heard the sound of another army, and they just took off and left everything. And it saved Israel because they went back and told the king, the city is ours, and there's plenty of provisions in the city. That's an interesting story. And the man who leaned on the king's hand, who didn't believe nothing, the king, he got trampled to death because he didn't believe it was true. Anyway, I don't have time to go into that story, but that's an interesting story about movement, about deciding, I'm not going to stay here. I am not going to stay here. I am not going to stay here. So you get up. And you start, yes, go ahead. I see you. You can stir it up.
And what is my motivation? My motivation to get up, no matter how bad I might feel, my motivation to be on this today is to please God so that I can serve His purpose that He has in me. He said to occupy. How you will occupy if you're not willing to do some of the movement? If you're not willing to do the moving, if you're not willing to go through the hard places, and not sit down in the hard places. I mean, on our next programs, when we do it, we need to start to talk about the man that had been sitting down for 37 years, and then talk about the man that was blind, and Jesus went through the process of putting clay on his eyes. Do you realize he had never seen? Where was this pool? Where was this pool? How did he get there? All of the people, all of the situations, all of the things that kept him from getting there. Couldn't nobody touch him. He was unclean. Huh? I mean, he was unclean in more than one ways. All of these different kinds of things.
Yes.
Even his parents couldn't touch him. Why is that? Because number one, it was on the Sabbath. Number two, look at how Jesus did it. Somebody spit on him. I might as well say it. They put mud on him. He was dirty. He was all of those things. How did he get to the pool of Siloam? How did he get there? He had to take a chance. He had to take a chance on drowning.
Yeah.
You don't take a chance to walk across the street. Come on.
just get up from there. And the teacher used to say, he was from the South back in grade school, he said, raise up and do something. You cannot stay. This is so good in that place. When you start moving, you know, movement creates vision, creates sight. And you begin to see. You may not, when you first start moving, you may not see nothing, but as you move, you'll start seeing where you're going. And ultimately, you begin to see the end result of what you're moving toward. Especially if you're dealing with something, if you're going through something, you keep moving. The songwriter said, if you're catching hell, if you're going through hell and you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. But you gotta keep it moving. This is how we overcome that syndrome of talking, 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 and not saying nothing. Yeah. It's called, the Bee Gees called it, jab talking. Anyway. That's all I'm singing for y'all today. But it's jive talking because you can't produce nothing. You can't produce nothing. And this is where the rubber starts meeting the road. Our world right now is hurting to see real manifestation of who we say we are and the life and the power of the resurrected Jesus. The Bible says that the spirit that raised him from the dead in Romans chapter 8, if that spirit, in fact, Romans 8 and 11 says, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through a spirit that dwells in us. Mm-hmm. Hear me. You got to make movement because the power of his life in you drives out the death principle. But if you ain't moving, you'll just lay there and die. Or you'll waste away. But it's the power of his life in us that drives out the death principle. That's why it's so important that we use our voices in unison with the voice of God. And as we do, it begins to bring change. To every frequency around us begins to change and conform to the very thing that we say that it is. I know our time is getting short. And so I'm going to...
At less than 30 seconds.
Okay, then I'm going to just yield the rest of my time to you, possibly.
Oh, you're yielding the rest of our time. We're doing this. But the thing of it is that we know that you had to have gotten something out of this today. I was doing my stuff here and the notes and the different things and whatever it is. Apostle Marshall, this has been so fantastic. We're going to come back with this and we want you to ask questions so that on our next program, we will be able to answer your questions. We want you to get up and start moving. We don't want you to stay where you are. This is Apostle Marshall McGee and Apostle Baker J. Baker saying goodbye for now. We'll see you. Please interact with us. Send us questions and we will answer you to help you get to where from where you are to where you need to be. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Thank you for watching Kingdom First TV, your station for kingdom inspiration.